Welcome to the Closing the Gap podcast series, brought to you by BrandHook and CMO Magazine.
I'm Pip Stocks, and I'm your host for Closing the Gap, an 11-part series about how marketers can close the gap between what consumers want and what business is delivering.
The digital transformation is upon us, yet 74% of senior executives around the world state their understanding of the customer experience as incomplete. This series gives marketers practical ways to build that knowledge.
My guest for Chapter 3 is Genevieve Elliott, the General Manager of Customer Strategy and Data and Analytics of Federation Centres. Federation Centres was formerly known as Centro, and it owns and manages 102 shopping centres in Australia. Hi, Genevieve.
Hi.
Last week we started the conversation about how consumer behaviour has changed due to the digital transformation, and we covered off three things. Consumers are building their own solutions, consumers are evaluating across category and negotiating price differently. Today I want to cover the next three. Consumers are now more in control, consumers research differently, and peer-to-peer recommendations are more likely to influence a consumer than an ad. But let's start with your new job title. That's very exciting.
Yes, it is.
So why has customer strategy, data and analytics become so important for Federation Centres?
I think historically the retail property industry has been very focused on its core customer being its retailer. And it's only recently been understood that retailers are a direct product of the consumers that come and visit them. So for us, focusing on the consumer, understanding what it is that they need and trying to provide that. Because we recognise, as you've alluded to, the customer has become all-powerful. And so if we're not giving the customer what they want, there's plenty of choice in the market, they will go and find it elsewhere. And so when we're thinking about how do we find out more about the customer, there are the many different traditional research mechanisms, but we're also dealing with a brand new technological age, which means that we can implement very serious Wi-Fi networks across our properties to actually understand empirically what customers are doing.
I'm really fascinated by that Wi-Fi understanding of the customer, actually. We're going to talk about it, but I suppose one of the things that questions I was going to ask you is how are you actually closing the gap between what businesses are providing and what consumers want? Because we are seeing that this gap is vast and, in fact, getting bigger. And in big organisations like you, this is fairly innovative thinking, isn't it?
I think it is innovative. A number of our peers are also thinking like this because they're recognising the impact that online shopping is having on the physical bricks and mortar space and recognising the need to innovate, to stay relevant. So I think, this recognition that the consumer is going to be driving where our business goes, it's critical, but recognising it, understanding what they want and collecting that data. But then the most critical aspect is applying it to our product. So we need to start understanding how people are using our product. How do they get there? How easy is it to park? How easy is it to find the right entrance? How easy is it to find what they need in the centre? And also recognising that one of the main drivers for coming to a shopping centre isn't actually to purchase a product. It's actually to have an experience. Mm. So it might be coffee with a friend, going to a movie. So making sure that our product evolves with what their needs are. Even if it's even down to the point where most shopping centre companies have taken a view that we're just a box full of shops. We want to take it that one step further, which recognises the local environment in which we reside and making sure that whatever we build or develop reflects the local environment.
It's interesting because Disney World bracelet has come out 2 years ago, and I think they're doing, been doing similar things, mapping the consumer's journey through the park. And obviously, there's a benefit to the consumer because they can have priority lanes and with the bracelet they can buy food and they don't have to carry money, all that kind of jazz. But the thing I think is really interesting is the back end where you can start to, see the footprint and start to tailor the footprint by customer, really.
Yep.
Is that something that you've thought about?
Oh, yes. Yes. So we're fairly new to this, but we have implemented a pilot Wi-Fi rollout at a couple of our centres, and we've just started looking at what this is able to tell us. So at one of our centres, we've just worked out that 26% of customers coming in a particular entrance only go to that zone and then leave. So a quarter of the shoppers go to one part of the centre without visiting any other part of the centre and leave. So on one part, we're offering them convenience around that. But I guess our challenge is, how do we disrupt that to get them to recognise there's value in going to other parts? Without the implementation of that sort of infrastructure, you know, technology infrastructure, we would never have known that.
Mm. I had someone come and talk to us at the office the other day about a way of measuring NPS in the store environment. And I thought it was very interesting, actually, because there's all these things that are just going to pop up. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, you know, are you going to be a part of ensuring that those things happen? Are you going to be, how do you feel about being that kind of thought leader in that position? Is there any work that you're doing with collaborators to bring these new technologies to life?
Yes, there's a lot of thought being given to it at the moment. But what we're trying, you know, I think one of the questions we've been asked, are we going to implement beacons? And I think the answer is, you know, absolutely we will. What we want to do, though, is actually take, you know, work out what we want to implement those beacons for and make sure that we do it in line with the strategy, is consistent with what we want to offer consumers. Because I think people are very scared that by implementing beacons haphazardly, and, you know, our retailers want to do it too, that we start to alienate shoppers by actually pushing information to them that's not invited. And I think that's only one use of beacons. Mm. We need to think about all possible applications.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so peer-to-peer recommendations obviously has been a massive trend and the way that consumers have changed. And, you know, being an old marketer like me, having created many 30-second ads and believed that that was the way forward and, you know, really did influence consumers' behaviour, for me to see this shift has been quite amazing. Mm. Are you seeing the influence of that in retail?
Absolutely. But I don't think the concept of it is new. So years ago, in a previous life, I did some work on the trust in financial planners, and it turns out that people trust financial planners who have been recommended to them by a friend or colleague far more than they trust someone that they looked up in the white pages. It's old.
Mm.
But there's still that implicit trust in someone that you know recommending. So I think this is actually just a much broader application of it, because we've now got the technological means to do it. You know, there wasn't a TripAdvisor 10 years ago, but it's still, you know, people still surveyed their friends on where they'd prefer to go to a holiday a holiday. This is actually just a broader community, a manifestation of that. Mm. So I think we are seeing it definitely in retail, and I think the reason for it is that with friends and family, you don't typically assume an agenda. There's always an agenda with a salesperson working at a retailer. And that's why I think lots of retailers are now going down these experiential routes, where they're actually trying to develop that trust and that connection with the consumer. So I think it's manifesting itself in that way. But also with retailers allowing consumers the opportunity to share on social media, get feedback from their friends immediately on social media on the next outfit or whatever, facilitating that, recognising that it's pretty important.
Mm, yeah, no, it's true that we've always sought advice from our loved ones or closest, and you're right, we've now got a platform to just bring that to us en masse, really.
Mm.
The other thing we're seeing is, you know, consumers researching differently when it comes to what they want. In fact, we did a study recently that said 26% of women started online, or 26% of the customer experience was about starting online to find, you know, what they were looking for, which is obviously, you know, a new shift in the consumer behaviour. And when we go to the section, we go to the episode about the consumer wanderings, you can now see how chaotic it is. There's really no start or finish. How are consumers researching in the store environment? We know that a lot of it does start online, but do you think there's also a difference in the store environment?
Oh, we can see that there is. So again, from this pilot, we've only just started running, we can see what people are browsing on in centre. And so it's not, and so it's actually one aspect of it is researching amongst different retailers in centre. So it could be at a discount department store and comparing to the other discount department store, even smaller stores if they've got an online presence. But it's actually also compared to online and online onshore and offshore retailers. So last month, for example, Amazon.com was in the top five most searched websites in our centres.
Wow! As they're shopping, that's amazing.
So they're comparing online retail, and then I guess weighing up the pros and cons of, do they pay a bit more for it but get the immediate gratification of making a purchase, or is the cost saving sufficient for them to be waiting up to 2 weeks for the delivery from offshore?
Actually, well, there is one of the trends that we talked about, it, that whole idea of renegotiating price, and actually they're looking about what's happening in store and then checking on their phone to see if they can get a better deal.
Yeah,
that's quite amazing. So you can't, do you know who has then gone on to purchase in store or online?
No, unfortunately we haven't taken as far as the transaction down to point of sale. But I think that's a matter of time.
Yeah, it's amazing. We do talk about omnichannel, but that really is taking omnichannel to the next level. We touched on this test that you're doing. Are there other? I mean, the digital transformation has obviously shifted retail. I think it was one of the first categories in my mind to be really affected by the transformation. What we find quite amazing is that, you know, so something like only a third of CMOs around the world feel ready for this transformation. And in fact, we believe we're already halfway through it or in it. And we start to talk about it as, you know, it's really a marketing evolution. It's not a transformation. If you think about it as a transformation, it's almost a one-off. But an evolution is that we all need to change our behaviour.
Yes.
You know, what are the obvious signs of the digital transformation have you seen in your own world or particularly in retail?
I think the retailers actually accepting that they need to offer omnichannel to be even considered for purchase is a key example. And I think, having spent time offshore, I think Australian retailers are making up ground but are still well behind. I think it took them a while to realise it. And I think as a bricks and mortar offer as well, we're behind the eight ball in terms of how we can offer a better customer journey. We're doing a lot of thinking about it, but actually execution is going to be a key challenge. Parking solutions, for example. You know, if you have a look at the pain points in a customer's journey at a shopping centre, typically they'll mention parking, precincting, so having to go to five or six different places to look for a similar item, and then leaving. We need to do a lot more thinking about those, and I'm yet to find a shopping centre provider that has made those pain-free.
Even overseas, you haven't seen anyone deliver that? So you said that we're behind. What have you seen overseas that you thought was a bit more advanced?
I think retailers like John Lewis, you know, who's a very, very traditional retailer with a very traditional customer base, for them now to have, you know, in excess of 35% of their sales online, you know, they've attracted a whole new level of whole new customer base, managed to retain their existing ones, but provided it in a way customers want. So not everyone wants to shop online. Some of them do like the click and collect option. Some of them are recognised as having done the research online, but you can still come in and do your traditional purchase. It's no different to what a number of others are doing, but I think it's around the execution and user experience that they deliver that really stands out for me.
There's a lot more entertainment, I think. You know, like, I mean, obviously we've got Myers Windows, but that's kind of seems to be all we've got. Like, if you go overseas, there's a lot more interactivity with the store and the phone. You know, windows at Christmas.
Yes.
But even throughout the year, there seems to be more ability to entertain ourselves both on and offline in the shopping centre environment.
Yes. And definitely looking at the interaction between physical and digital. You know, there's a lovely example of a treasure hunt held recently at a competitor centre that was done on people's iPhones, you know, looking for the clues, checking in. And I think there's going only that's only going to increase because people are going to start expecting it more and more. I think the other thing that we'll see as well is that often a lot of the things held in centre aren't as connected to retailers as they could be, and I think we might see a return to engagement with retailers and partnering with retailers to offer those in-centre experiences, which are mutually beneficial both to the owner and the retailer. Not that sort of disconnect between just a school holiday, one-off piece of entertainment.
An ongoing experience.
Yep.
Do you think the shopper is interested in a treasure hunt, or is that a particular tribe?
I think anything that makes a family's journey to a shopping centre easier is attractive to most people. Now, there'll be some groups that you know, don't have to use the shopping centre as the experiential journey or excursion that it is to some. But I think if it makes it enjoyable and more pleasant and gives parents the opportunity to relax just for a bit and from a very selfish perspective, look at two or three more shops, I do think there's appeal.
You talked about pain points before. We did a study recently that looked at what makes a great customer experience, and the whole section is obviously bringing them into your service, and then there's another bit about those that can solve problems quickly are seen as those that are delivering a great customer experience. And this was a global study, and the brand that came up trumps was obviously Amazon. And they just said things like, it was no questions asked. You know, when I didn't get my delivery within 24 hours, I rang up and said it hasn't been delivered. They just sent another one. You know, they didn't question, they didn't ask for a receipt number. There's lots of those kind of deliverables that I think the global retailers are offering that makes the customer think, gee, that was amazing.
Yep.
I'm not sure if there's anyone in Australia kind of doing that no questions asked philosophy. It doesn't seem to, it's sort of not in our nature, is it?
It's not. And I think it reflects, I think consumers, because they now have more knowledge, have become more confident. You know, if you're going in to do a presentation and you feel absolutely confident on the material you're going to present, you go in with much greater confidence and belief. So through the internet, consumers are now more confident because they've got all this research at their fingertips. So they also are more demanding in terms of expectations. But you're right. I can't think of anybody else in Australia that's offering service to that level.
And we could really learn something, I think, especially from the States about how they deliver great customer service.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you. Let me just kind of finish off on one question. You talked about John Lewis, or two questions. You talked about John Lewis being a retail brand that you thought was doing well.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else that comes to mind globally that you think is doing well? If not in retail, but maybe in another category?
I have to say I really like what Domino's is doing, I think just in Australia, but what could be globally, because it feels like they have used digital technology to develop out a community and you know, almost do crowds. So they've sort of surfed a couple of ways. One is you know, the embracing of digital, and the other is actually generating or developing crowdsourcing or community as a service. So you know, the fact that you can build your own pizza, brand it, and then for every one of those sold that you would probably share with your whole entire social media network, you know, you actually generate a return for yourself. So I think that, like, in terms of embedding, a brand embedding itself from a loyalty perspective is fantastic. But actually the user experience is really good too.
And I like that example too, because it's not a brand that started on the back of the digital transformation like an Uber. It's a brand that's embraced it quickly.
Yes.
And moved forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him speak about this. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Genevieve. That was fascinating. It's really great to get a retail perspective. I want to thank everyone who's listening. The next episode is with Caroline Bendall, who's the CMO of ANZ. We're going to talk about the last shift in consumer behaviour, which is really around the change in consumer loyalty. Mm. We know that some people have never really believed in loyalty, like the Ehrenberg Institute, and we're really sort of talking about loyalty now around the importance of just engagement. But thanks, Genevieve.
Pleasure. Thank you.